Deborah Gibson, and I'm a professor in the Department of Health and Human Performance at the University of Tennessee at Martin. And that is a rural university in Northwest Tennessee. We have about 7,000 students. And I'm going to talk today about some of the things that's been going on in Tennessee to address childhood obesity. If we look at where we've been and where we're going, we get really excited. But still yet, there's a big problem, obviously. Nearly 28% of the adults in Tennessee and 20% of the children are obese. And that comes from the Trust for Americans Health. We are ranked fifth for adults and fourth for kids as far as obesity. If we look within the state of how we perceive this as a problem, 9 out of 10 parents think their kids are fit, where in actuality, 1 out of 3 actually is fit. We know the problems associated with being overweight as a child. Overweight children become overweight adults. And then the cost associated with that goes without saying as well. University of Baltimore does obesity studies, and this map looks at where Tennessee was, as well as all the other states, in 2004. And if you look at Tennessee, you see it's red, and that stands for a big fat F. So we had an F in controlling obesity in children in 2004. As far as efforts to control obesity in general, which would also address adults, we had a C. So lots of room for improvement. In 2004, when they did school health profiles, they found 15% of kids overweight, 18% at risk for becoming overweight, 66% didn't meet currently recommended levels of physical activity, 11% had not participated in vigorous or moderate physical activity in the past 7 days, 63% did not attend physical education classes, no classes, 70% did not attend physical education classes daily. So we're talking, when I came to Martin some 15 years ago, our university provided the physical education for the schools in Weakley County. That was all they got, is when our clinical people went out and did it. Now, again, things are changing. 30,000 Tennessee students have been measured by coordinated school health, and still yet we're finding that 43% of the students were either at risk for overweight or overweight. And I myself bought one of the biomeasure things, and we've been going out into the schools and noting that, you know, we look at this 43%, but there's a whole lot of kids not even being measured. The kids who come in with the slips not signed to be able to get permission are the kids who are obviously obese. And we're seeing that again and again. So if we actually were measuring all of the kids, I don't know what that number would look like. So what is Tennessee doing about the problem? Well, if we start back in the mid-80s, we began the Tennessee School Health Coalition. It was formed. And along those lines, as a result of that coalition, we started doing a lot of things with HIV and AIDS and looking at the whole coordinated school health initiative and how what role that could play in improving health status in Tennessee. In 1988, we got the public school nurse program enacted by legislature, which funded 32 nursing positions. And again, back in 88, it was very sad. But still yet, as early as last year, in the county I live in, we have like one school nurse serving 5 schools and literally running, checking diabetes, checking blood sugar in one school, having to drive across town to the next school, where at school 3, maybe a kid's been carried to the office because their blood sugar has dropped so low. And we don't have the nurses still yet to cover those situations. In 91, we began looking at the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. In 1994, TennCare went into effect, and that is like the public aid of Tennessee. In 95, the first CDC state infrastructure application was prepared and sent in, and unfortunately it was not approved. In 1997, the Tennessee School Health, in partnership with Department of Education and the Department of Health, had its first Youth Risk Behavior Survey Conference, making people more aware. Okay, let's look at what's going on in the state and take an action here. In 1997, the second infrastructure application was not approved. In 1998, Congress encouraged adoption of the CDC model of the Coordinated School Health Program. And in 98, we had a jointly sponsored school health conference addressing the increasing awareness of the Colby-Allensworth model of coordinated school health and what that can look like. And again, we are familiar with what that looks like. You know, the idea of all of us acting in a vacuum, let's get together and work on what's best for the students together. In 99, Tennessee School Health Coalition did its first position paper and website devoted to coordinated school health. We started seeing some legislation about coordinated school health and actually hired lobbyists. In 99, school health was added to the master plan for schools. And finally, the third CDC infrastructure application was approved and started in 2000. So, the Coordinated School Health Improvement Act. What it did is appropriate money for 10 pilot sites across the state of Tennessee. So we had $1 million to fund 10 pilot sites. And requests for proposals went out, and they picked 10 of the best proposals to give the money to start a coordinated school health program. Now, a lot of these people had no clue what that even was, what they're applying to get. So it took a long time to get people on board to say, okay, this is what we're doing here. But the standards and the guidelines were created by the State Board of Education, and using the School Health Index, they started up with their 10 pilot sites. There was a Coordinated School Health Coordinators Leadership Institute that the coordinators of these 10 pilot sites went to. So they received a great deal of training, and they were brought together at least on a monthly basis, where they were able to network with one another and see what was going on in each other's site. Now, these are basically rural sites where we're starting these the 10 pilot sites. So trying to find all the resources is a little bit more difficult than if you're in an urban area. In 2001, we had the School Health Data Conference. 2002, we had a Fit for the Future conference, and at these conferences, we're getting all the key parties from that coordinated school health model participating. 2002, they developed an evaluation plan. Okay, we've got these 10 pilot sites. We better have a plan of how we're going to evaluate what's working, what's not working. And most people would say, well, surely they would have thought of that before they started, but no, we did a little bit bass-ackwards, but we're doing it. The pilot sites, the funding gave money to get a full-time coordinator, then extensive training through the Coordinators Leadership Institute. And again, one of the counties was a joint, Gibson County Trenton Special Schools. There were two smaller schools that decided to come together and work together on their grant application. And that's how they're spread out across Tennessee. Okay, 2003, we started seeing milk vending machines introduced in Monroe County. Getting a milk vending machine was, to us, it makes sense, you know, offer healthier things for people to have. But that was really hard to get that even across. But again, things are changing. 2003, first evaluation report from the Coordinated School Health Program's baseline data. We got the infrastructure funds reinstated in 2004. Also in 2004, we started seeing nutritional requirements for competitive food sold in schools. That was a battle. What is the competitive food rule? We think of as the school vending bill rule. And then all of those people are saying, wait, vending pays for our athletic programs. Vending pays for on and on and on and on and on. So trying to get the thought about that changed was an uphill battle, and it still is. Um, some federal help came in with the Federal Child Nutrition and WIC Reauthorization Act, which mandated each school district to develop a wellness policy by the first day of the 2006-07 school year. Nutrition guidelines adopted by the State Board of Education. We adopted a physical activity policy that didn't have much to it in 2005, but I'll be telling you that it's got more to it now. In the Child Nutrition and WIC Reauthorization Act, Congress required the districts with federally funded meal programs to develop and implement their wellness policy addressing nutrition and physical activity. Now, from the school district's perspective, they're saying, okay, now we've got all these new rules and regulations, and now we have to come up with these policies. And they were just kind of out there floundering. People don't like change, and they weren't really sure what it is they were supposed to be doing. So as a result of that, Actions for Healthy Kids, the Tennessee Office of School Nutrition Programs, and the Tennessee School Health Coalition developed a resource guide that pretty much, if you get the guide and the CD, it walks you through developing that wellness plan, which obviously the school administrators were tickled pink to have that as a resource. And it was distributed to all the Tennessee school systems during the spring of 2006. And through 2006 to 2003 to 2006, we started having what we call PANTS Institutes. If you say PANTS Institutes, at least they'll say, well, what is that? They'll at least be interested enough to read on. What is it? Physical Activity and Nutrition for Tennessee School Institutes. We had them at different universities across Tennessee. And what we did is we invited in teachers, administrators, staff, all the key personnel, all the stakeholders there, to learn about coordinated school health, to learn what are the nutrition guidelines, talk about the wellness policy, talk about the physical activity policy. So instead of leaving them out there floundering, we were providing them as much resources as we possibly could to help them buy in to these changes. In 2005, schools were allowed to collect BMI on students. Schools were allowed, but there's many superintendents that said, no, you're not going to do that. They fought that tooth and nail. No, we're not going to be doing that. I guess they feared that they were going to see in the newspaper the next day 70% of the kids at such and such school are obese. I don't know what they were thinking, and we wouldn't use the word obese. Obviously, we'd use overweight or at risk for overweight. But they were really reluctant, and still yet are reluctant, when it comes time to do the BMIs. We developed the School Health Advisory Council, and the schools with the coordinated school health, as well as the ones across the state, were having to actually start implementing the School Health Index. And they looked at modules 1, 3, and 4 of that School Health Index. The physical activity policy stated that all local education associations has to have an advisory council. And they have to develop and implement and monitor, review and revise physical activity and nutrition policies. If you look at that, it doesn't really give you any clear guidelines, does it? It's just a lot of words that doesn't really mean a whole lot. Ensure that all schools within the LEA creates and implements an action plan. Ensures the school level results includes measures of progress on each indicator of the school health index. So it doesn't really, you know, there's not a lot of clear cut what you're supposed to do there. But in July of 06, they started doing the school health index. The school health index modules are the health and safety policies, health education, on and on. Most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the school health index. Some additional recommendations of their physical activity task force said that physical activity should be integrated into all curriculum areas of the school. So they're saying, okay, let's look at what is physical education, what is physical activity, and they are two different things. And that in addition to physical education, we need to be putting physical activity into the other curriculum, trying to merge, get the kids active even when they're not in physical education. Supervised recess should be offered daily to all elementary schools. When you're looking around the country, a lot of schools are actually cutting recesses A physical education consultant position should be created. A health education consultant position should be created. And then as a result of these task force, those two positions have been created. So in 2006, we actually saw the Coordinated School Health Expansion Law. And this is the part that we're really excited. $15 million funding provided to all local education associations. It paid for the two positions, the physical education specialist and the school health coordinator. It mandated 90 minutes of physical activity, K through 12. No, that's not the 150 recommended. But you look at where they were. And when some people having no physical education whatsoever, to a mandated, not we recommend you might like to do this, but a mandated 90 minutes of physical activity. And note it says physical activity, not physical education. And there was a lot of discussion about that. In fact, our state AFERD Association kind of fought with that, and saying we wanted to say physical education, but physical activity is where they ended up with. And that can include, that's not supposed to be in lieu of physical education. That's supposed to be on top of what they are doing in their physical education. You might be thinking, well, how on earth are they kind of supervising that and seeing how that happens? We're not there yet. It's interesting to listen to some of the superintendents who've come to these workshops of what their ideas might be of getting those 90 minutes in. They want to count walking down the hall to get a drink of water and things like that. They're figuring, don't cut into my class time because I want to work with this No Child Left Behind and make sure I get my test scores where they need to be. The request for applications for expanded coordinated school health program was issued. So what we're saying now is that every school district in Tennessee is going to have a coordinated school health program across the state, going from 10 pilot sites to everyone in the state. So Governor Bredesen signed that into law. Every school local education association is going to implement a coordinated school health program under the guidelines developed by the commissioner. Specific standards and guidelines are made available for them. It's the duty of each local education agency to integrate a minimum of 90 minutes of physical activity each week. Noting again, it's not as high as it should be, but it's a beginning point. And noting again that physical education is not the same thing as physical activity, necessarily. There's overlap, obviously. The 2006 Fit for the Future Conference focused on helping people understand and prepare to implement new initiatives. Got it. Thank you. We're looking at more and more training workshops going on here. We're revising lifetime wellness. Let me get to where I want to see. As of October 2007, 132 of the 138 school systems were funded for coordinated school health. A coordinator's funded, an assistant is funded, the travel, the basic startup funds. Now again, what each district is doing is they're starting in one site and then moving out, branching out each year. And because I'm running out of time, I'm going to flip on over to where we are now as a result. There are some other initiatives going on in Tennessee. Governor Bredesen has started a Get Fit Tennessee. In addition to Susan Cooper, our Commissioner of Health, and Eddie George, that helps. If we look at where we are now, 2006 report card. Okay, state efforts to control obesity. Tennessee has an A. State efforts to control childhood overweight prevalence. Tennessee has an A. And I will stop with that as I flip through more slides that you didn't get to see.